your number one station, your official station.
You're listening to The Itch. My name is Casey.
My name is Dan.
And I'm Aaron, and this week we are scratching the itch to talk about old friends and new ones. So you guys, not I, but you guys, saw two shows in the past weekish featuring former Itch guests. One had episode 178 guest Caskets, and the other featured two-time Itch guests, Saul, who were in episode 168 last year, and then episode 44 3 years ago. And you got to presumably meet some pals we sort of incidentally made online in a band called Hang Your Hate.
Yep.
Yes, we'll definitely get into that and talk about them. One thing I wanted to start off with this whole episode with this funny story. So most people don't know this, but like in my normal regular paying job that I don't like to talk about because it's boring. Nobody has any idea what I'm talking about when I mention the bands that I listen to or that I hang out with or I'm going to see. They're all just like, that's nice. And since I'm like the younger guy out of like, you know, yeah, everybody else is like really, you know, they're like, they could be my parent basically. And so I was telling somebody else like, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I was hanging out with these band members and on such and such, you know, I was telling her about the last two concerts we're about to talk about. We'll get into those details, of course. But she's just like, exactly like, oh, that's nice. It's always so awesome to hear you hanging out with all these cool band members. I don't know who any of them are, but they just sound so nice.
Like, well, like, they are. Yeah.
It's like talking with your grandma or something like that. Like, yeah. Not saying that they're old enough to be my grandma. I'm not going to say that because they will kill me. But I'm just saying that they're
nice,
like,
dearie.
There's a generational gap that they just, yeah. So whenever I try to talk about all my stories and think that I'm cool to my coworkers, they're all just like, yeah, that sounds great. Cool. I hope you had a good time. You know, kind of like your mom patronizes you. Like, oh, that sounds great, dear.
Yeah. That sounds like something I would not enjoy in the slightest.
Yes.
Good for you, though.
So with that being said, so it was pretty cool. We got there right in time. Caskets was getting ready to take the stage, and they, you know, they sounded great. I will say, I don't know if it was the pageant or just, you know, butterflies or getting used to it, but the first kind of song and a half was a little touch and go. But yeah, after that, they definitely like kind of rolled right into it and they rocked out. That's for sure.
Yeah. And one thing that we got to make mention of right off the bat is we were kind of worried because they missed a good chunk of the tour because they had visa issues.
Yeah.
So we were thankful.
Yeah. Caskets is coming from the UK and just got their visa situation resolved like, what, a few days before this? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got some insight on that too. But from the band members. But it was kind of up in the air whether or not we were actually going to go to this concert because Caskets was really the only draw for us. I'm not a fan of Crown the Empire. I've become a fan of Set It Off, and I really think that they're kind of coming into their own recently. But we had just seen them, like, with Oxymorons about a year ago or maybe a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I wasn't in necessarily a hurry to go see them again. We really were just going to go for Caskets, and if they weren't going to be there, we probably weren't going to go.
Yeah. Thankfully, they got the situation squared away, and they were able to join the tour, and we were able to see them perform. And, man, I didn't know what to expect seeing them live. And surprisingly, they kind of played older songs, which I kind of thought was interesting, seeing as how, you know, they just released Reflections a couple months back.
Yeah, that was my, you know, I didn't ask them about it, but that was just my takeaway from it as well, is that they played a lot of stuff from their first album. And just a couple of songs off of the new one, which was a little disappointing for me because I'd fallen in love with Reflections and was hoping to hear a lot more. It was still a great set though. And, you know, they definitely played a lot of their big hits.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Reflections was my introduction to this band as well, and they're a little to the side of really what any of us most often listen to. Like their style, we joked about it being metalcore, but it's really not.
Yeah.
I'd call it, if you want to get into those subgenre kind of thing, I'd call it more of like a post-hardcore sound.
Yeah.
So to that point being, I didn't realize that they have some big songs before this album because they were new to me. But yeah. Their 2021 album, Lost Souls, like if you look them up on Spotify, those are the tracks that are like 30, 50, 40, 50 million streams. So I guess now looking at that, it makes sense why that got a lot of focus as well.
Yeah. Well, and what's kind of awesome, whether or not fans just however they find them, but I think Caskets as a whole was surprised at how many people in the crowd were singing along with their songs, which that's always encouraging to see.
Yeah, I do agree with that. You know, we have a huge Octane following in St. Louis, and you know, they had some decent play on Octane, and you know, it was definitely a younger crowd as well was there because it was Set It Off. And I mean, there was a younger crowd. And when I say younger, I meant like teens.
Set It Off definitely draws the younger crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, which begs the question, why was Crown the Empire on that tour? Like, they already have lots of questions surrounding them in their past, and so it was just really weird for them to be on this bill in the first place, because them and Set It Off don't go together. Like Crown the Empire is more like a hardcore band, in my opinion.
So I'm not familiar with them at all. I'm interested in you guys' take on their sounds.
Yeah, so I mean, but to finish up Caskets, though, they were really good, but I guess you know, they played about 7 songs or so, and the crowd was definitely into it, and I think they really kind of brought people in, especially with their last 2 songs. They played like their big songs off their first albums, Lost in the Echoes and Glass Heart.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They sounded great, and I was glad we got to see them perform, and we'll get into here in a little bit of our interactions with them. But yeah, Crown the Empire took the stage next, and they're also we have to say this too. The other guitarist of Caskets played for the entire set of Crown the Empire, which I'm not really sure the story behind that. I don't know if the other guitarist couldn't make it or how that worked, but he played both sets in their entirety.
Respect. That's back to back work right there.
Like, so he not only learned their set, but he also learned their vocal parts, because he was the backup screamer for that set too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was impressive. Right.
That was pretty impressive.
Next time, let's get him on here too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was more impressed with him than the rest of the band, to be honest.
That is impressive.
The lead singer of Crown the Empire was cracking me up because he was almost just as bad as Danny from Asking Alexandria.
In what way?
He said he had a cold, but I think he was wasted from the day before.
Yeah.
Cold/hangover. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he proceeded to get drunk on stage.
Yeah. He said, "All right, guys, I need you to crowd surf me some shots."
And then just started taking shots of whatever was sent to him. He didn't even know what it was. He actually said that. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, he said he took a shot of one thing and he's like, "Oh, that was good." And later he took a shot of another thing and he's like, "I don't even know what that was. That was awful," or whatever. You know,
I'm impressed that shots could make it to the stage without getting
people were dropped. Like parting the sea to get to the front with their drink for him.
Yeah.
Okay then.
it was definitely an interesting set. Like they were good. I mean, you know, if you like their music, they're definitely not going to disappoint live. I'll say that. You know, their music, and especially with the Caskets guitarist, like they were really good with him. But he's got a lot of stage presence anyway. So
yeah, I mean,
enough for 2 sets apparently.
Yeah,
right.
And enough energy.
I got
2 sets.
Yeah.
He did not have enough energy to come out afterwards, which makes complete sense. I'm sure he probably went and showered and slept. Yeah.
Yeah, you're forgiven for not socializing when you just played, you know, I don't know, probably an hour 15 or something like that.
So while Crown the Empire was playing, we made our way over to Caskets' merch booth, where we kind of stood there. We were hoping that Benji was going to come out. There was nobody there. I did get myself a shirt. And then I guess Casey had kind of sent him a message or something like that.
I did. I hit him up on Instagram.
Very quick interjection. Caskets has cool art. I recommend checking out their merch and their shirts. Just going to throw that out there for them.
They definitely have some really cool merch.
Yeah, they had tarot cards and stuff too.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Anyway, back to regular schedule programming.
I sent Benji a message on Instagram asking if he was going to come out and hang out at the merch booth at all. And he said, yeah, we'll come out and meet you guys. And then, so that was during Crown the Empire. He came towards the end of that set, but set it off was to finish off the night. And, you know, we've seen them before, and I appreciate what they do. It's not really my thing, but I get why the crowd enjoys them so much.
They
have a lot of fun. The front man has a lot of stage presence and knows how to work a room. So
yes. Yeah. My favorite part of their set is they brought out this like blow up mattress and he throws it on the crowd and he crowd surfed, literally surfed on the blow up mattress on the crowd. He literally was standing up on the, like while he's singing on this blow up mattress that people are like moving around from front to back. And he complimented the crowd because they got him up to the second tier.
Yeah.
He's like, did you see that? I was on the second tier. They got me up to second tier.
I appreciate that. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were having a ball up on stage, and they did not have the keyboard, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, and so
the keyboard that got in the way of Jaffe.
Yes.
We saw them. It was standing it was in front of him the whole time, restricting his movement.
Yeah.
And our vision of him.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting set without the keyboard because, you know, a lot of their sound is kind of like bass heavy. It's, you know, especially now it's very pop punk. And so it's very poppy. You know, there's a lot of like pop bass lines and pop sounds and stuff on there that are pumped in, you know? And so,
yeah,
like you could tell that, you know, most of the artists did have backing tracks, but like with Set It Off, it was almost to an extent of like the drummer and the singer just they're doing their thing, and like the other people are irrelevant, and it's just like that. And then, you know, the singer is basically doing karaoke with the drummer. Like that's kind of how it felt a little bit.
That's pretty much what I saw as well, because the it wasn't like just bass guitar, but just the thick synth bass was so overpowering that then the other guys would dance around and then like put their hands in the air and there was no change in the music.
Like you couldn't hear it. Like their guitars weren't loud at all. You couldn't hear them. They were drowned out by the backing sounds basically.
Yeah. So that,
and maybe it was where we were sitting, but Crown the Empire didn't have that, or standing, I should say, but Crown the Empire didn't have that issue when we were watching their set from the same place. So it was, I'm definitely thinking it was more of Set It Off sound guy or just how they wanted it to be. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, not throwing any shade because they performed great and hyped up the crowd, and they did like a 10 minute song medley towards the end of their set, and the crowd ate that up the entire time.
And they played a long, long time.
They did.
They seem to do that.
They played for 75 minutes and they said it because it was a headlining show that they wanted to give people their, no, I'm sorry. It was 90 minutes. They played a 90 minute set. It was a 90 minute set.
Yeah.
Cause like we're hanging out with Benji talking on the side and he's like, well, the other guys are going to come out after the show. And then he like disappeared for a good portion. And so like, we're watching Set It Off and we're just like, oh my God. Like cause they said they were going to come out like at the end of the set. And like, I don't know Set It Off stuff. Like I'm not really there to see them, but I appreciate that they played 90 minutes. I just wasn't there to see all 90 minutes of it. I had every intention of leaving early, but then Benji's like, oh, hang around after the show. I'm like, okay. let's do that.
That's a little bit what happened the first time, because when we saw them, we got a review of this one, Set It Off, and Oxymorons and some other openers. Mm-hmm. We pretty much hung out through Set It Off explicitly to hang out with the Oxys.
Yep.
Like, so... Yeah. Set It Off is a great band to have as your headliner if you want to hang with the earlier acts, I guess, is the deal.
It was awesome. They did make their way back over to where the merch booth was, and we were standing there. And, you know, Benji sat there and talked with us forever. And it was, he was a little tipsy, to say the least, but he was having a good time. I can't fault him for that. And so he was able to tell us, like, you know, how worried they were about not being able to get into the States, because that's a huge loss of income for them and their guys. And they were just worried about, you know, that loss of income. I'm not going to go into how much money, but he did tell us how much.
Yeah, he did tell us how much money.
it's a lot more than I make.
Really bring stuff out of people.
And it's a lot more than I make in a year. So
wow.
Yeah. Well, that's how much they would have lost if they, you know, or how much they did lose by missing the 6 dates that they did.
Yeah.
Is, I think, what he's saying.
That's merch sales and just the bill.
Everything. You know? Yeah. Getting paid for the show, merch sales, everything.
All right.
Yeah. So it was kind of cool hearing the inside part of that. And then it was, you know, it's just me and Casey really enjoy this. Like, I truly love seeing artists interact with fans. And like that was just really entertaining, because there were so many people that were just so excited to see him. And he was such an outgoing guy, and he was so fun to be around. And it was just a good time.
It was. And I never, also on the same token of that, I never get tired of, you know, they see us and they're so excited because they remember the good time that they had when we talked with them
7 months later.
Yeah, 7 months later. And he, because he said, you know, when we talked with them, they were stuck in a hotel room for like a week waiting to play Blue Ridge. And he's like,
specifically said, we saved him.
Yes, he
saved them from going crazy.
Yeah, he said we were dying for human connection. And then so being able to chat with them for like an hour and a half, he was thrilled about that.
Hey, tell them next time they're stuck in a hotel and dying for, you know, interaction. We got you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And James said the same thing. James is a little bit more reserved and a lot more sober than Benji was. But
so their personalities in person were the exact same as in the interview.
Yes, exactly.
Or Benji's just like loud, and James is kind of just quiet in the background.
Yeah, but he had the exact same sentiments. He enjoyed the conversation that we had, and he was just happy that we showed up. And
I love that.
The last little bit of information that we got from them is that apparently, he said possibly around October, they'll be back around the area to do a headline show, hopefully.
Ooh.
Yeah,
so I'm around for that.
Forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah. There was one important thing that you guys told me via text the night of, and again here before we hit record, that I think is very important for the people to hear, and that's that seeing Caskets live can come at a personal cost.
Yeah. So one of the benefits of the podcast is that we do have connections, and we do get some, you know, access to some concerts and things. So we actually tried our connection this time. It didn't work out, and that was fine. We, you know, we don't mind supporting artists. And so Casey this time decided to buy the tickets, because I don't know why he just decided, but it was
well, I gave him my ID
there, so
I gave him my ID because we were supposed to be on the list, and then they're like, yeah, I don't have an Adams. Like, oh, okay.
He's like, all right, give me 2 tickets.
I guess I'm buying these tickets then.
For the show. All right.
And so when Benji found out that we paid to see Caskets, he wasn't mad, but he was upset and like jovial, and like he was punching me. Don't pay to go to a Caskets concert. He punched me like 3 times.
Yeah. No, he said, this is exactly what he said. He's like, why didn't you message me?
Yeah, that's right.
as he's punching him after every word.
Sorry, I must have blacked out. I didn't.
You took a lick for each word that Benji had to be offended with.
Yeah, he's like, don't ever do that again.
Yes. Like, why am I getting beat up for supporting you? What the hell?
We had to make up for the money y'all was losing.
Hey, yeah, right.
He's probably like, that goes to set it off. No, I'm just joking.
That's probably, yeah. That's not our money. Set it off is doing fine.
No, it was awesome. And
that might be the first time I've gone to a show and gotten beat up, though.
Yeah,
first one I can think of.
Yeah,
and he's not weak. Like I don't know if he was trying. I'm sure it wasn't like his hardest punch. Don't get me wrong, but like, you know, I didn't have bruises on me or anything. But
he's probably got strength and speed in his arms. Yeah. As a guitarist. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. That's true.
It was quite the beatdown. But. And I'm surprised he didn't do it to me, to be honest, because, you know, I'm a bigger target. But,
but yeah, you look like you can take a couple.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's probably why he's like, I don't know, that guy might hit back.
Yeah, might hit back. Pick me up and throw me across the room.
Yeah. Right. I don't think I have the balance to hold up if he starts getting aggressive.
Yeah. But yeah, so
nonetheless,
that was a great night. And, and then, you know, about a week later, we saw another show.
Yeah. So for context, too. So we left that concert, the pageant at 11:30 on Friday. It was definitely a little bit of a later show and just weird in comparison to the Saul concert, because that was not a late show. So, we went and saw Saul on April 10th at the Old Rock House in St. Louis. And it was three bands: Hang Your Hate, Kingdom Collapse, and of course Saul with their first headlining tour. And so,
all right,
you know, I'm not gonna lie, I actually am on texting. I don't take advantage of this, but I do. I am on texting basis with Blake, and because the last time
Saul,
yes, sorry, the last time they rolled through town. He told me to reach out and he would get me on the guest list. And so we did with him. We did reach out to the artist that time when he was rolling through. And they did get us on the guest list. But this is their headlining tour. And, you know, from conversations with other artists, I know that, like, smaller bands try to do headlining tours so that they can, you know, boost their popularity and their reasoning, like their contribution to, like, another big headlining tour. Like, hey, we can bring this many guests to your tour.
Yeah.
And so when I, you know, on any headlining tour, I want to try to support them as much as possible. So we went ahead and just got two tickets, and I'm glad that we did, because it was not as busy as I was hoping it was going to be, for sure. And granted, it was on like a Wednesday night and it was raining nasty out.
It was, the weather was quite nasty, and it got worse as the night went on. But before we dive right into this concert.
And also, it was at the Old Rock House, which, despite being called the Old Rock House, I wouldn't say is one of St. Louis's more prominent rock venues.
Correct.
They book a lot of shows. They're really cool. Saul seems like somebody who would better fit at one of the other venues that you hear us talking about more often.
Yeah, I've only seen three shows at the Old Rock House in the last, like, 12 to 15 years.
Yeah.
One of them was like 10, 15 years ago, and then the last two have been within the last year. So they're starting to kind of get a little bit more rock artists coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you guys were in this, you know, primarily to see Saul. We got a little bonus out of this when we discovered that a band called Hang Your Hate had been added to the bill. So Hang Your Hate is another Missouri band, some fellow Mobros, as was coined during the Paralandra episode. And we had an interesting experience with them, which at some point we'll probably have them on and talk about it more. But Oxymorons announced some headlining dates, and you know, one of them was in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And this band called Hang Your Hate, you know, they chimed in on social media, as sometimes bands do to try to get themselves, you know, a gig. and sometimes it works. We saw that they were from Missouri and kind of seconded it. We're like, hey, get some Mo Bros on your lineup, more oxymorons. That would be great. You should do that. And they did. And so it worked out. They connected, ended up Hang Your Hate is opening for the Kansas City tour date of the Oxy show. And then later on, lo and behold, we found out that they're going to be in St. Louis opening for Saul. And so we're like, oh, this is so cool. You guys will actually get to say hi to these dudes that we randomly sort of helped get a gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of nowhere.
and they said that pretty much is, you know, once you messaged the Oxys about them, D's like, oh, you got endorsed by the bros, you know?
Yeah. He's like, he said that. Yeah, he said the Itch's family, something effective like the Itch's family. So like basically like that's a weighty endorsement, like that goes somewhere. So I don't know what went on behind the scenes to actually get them on there, but somehow they did. To which our running joke internally, since we hadn't actually heard this band before that interaction, our running joke in our texts was, I hope they don't suck. Because we really didn't know. We honestly didn't know. And so my big question about you guys going to see Saul, did Hang Your Hate suck? Because I really hope they didn't.
No.
They did.
That's
they
our
did
name
not.
On the line for the Oxys.
No, they did not.
They did not suck. They did not suck.
That's relief.
Funny story. So the old Rock House, you know, it already has a small stage. And then if you set three different drums up on the stage, there ain't no space. So... So Hang Your Hate, they have five guys in their band. So three guys couldn't move. In fact, one guy was like on the stairs practically. Like
I was going to say, the bassist, seriously, I have to say this. The bassist.
Did you get photos of this or videos?
I got video.
I want to see a video later of the guy playing basically on the stairs.
The bassist, who had an awesome fro, by the way.
Also like that.
He was literally sideways and didn't move the entire time. He just picked his bass while turned to the side while the other guys were playing, and the lead singer was jumping around like nobody's business. He actually fell off the stage at one point, or he jumped clear off the stage.
Yes.
So he on was, accident.
Like, so the lead singer, and I apologize, I don't know their names.
Yeah.
But the lead singer of Hang Your Hate, like, the dude's got ups. Like, if he wasn't my height, he could probably play in the NBA. Like, this dude can jump. But unfortunately, he's like my height. So,
yeah. he was jumping around kind of like a Rage or a Jason Allen Butler. And he jumped a little too far and landed on the floor of the stage and then straight up did a box jump back up on the stage. It was quite impressive.
So everybody else stayed still so that he could run around and be wild.
Yes.
Yeah.
With his like 2 square feet he was given.
Yeah.
Run around.
Yes.
Right. So that he could shimmy in the space that he had and jump back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had great stage presence. I did tell him this, and I hope that he didn't like take it the wrong way or anything. But I said that, you know, the one thing that I could tell that he doesn't have as much confidence in his singing voice as opposed to his screaming voice. Like, he's got a great screaming voice. His singing voice, you know, it's one of those things that you're just gonna have to keep working at, and it'll come along. There's no doubt. If he continues to work at it, of course. And so that's, you know, I just went over and kind of gave him some words of encouragement. I said, you know, if I can offer you any advice, like, sure. I was like, try singing in front of a mirror. Cause like, you kind of like close your eyes a lot when you sing. And so maybe if you sing in front of a mirror, you'd watch yourself and see keep your eyes open.
Feeling bold out here, giving advice to the bands. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and it wasn't just that he also would like turn his back to the crowd and like sing to the drummer and stuff like that.
You know, What's funny? Quick side story. One of my favorites, Sonny Sandoval of POD, very dynamic frontman. One of the stories whenever they first came out that got told a lot was that whenever he first started that band, he would literally perform with his back to the crowd because he had such stage fright and social anxiety about it.
Yeah,
so it took him a while to break out of his shell and get comfortable doing that.
Yeah. And anyway, I don't know if that's
the reason. It might not be the same thing, but
yeah. I don't know if that's the reason, but he did do quite a bit of that. So I think, and man, they keep getting on some pretty big shows. They're going to be playing with Saint Asonia here shortly.
Yeah, the rest of the band is tight. Like, they sound good. You can tell they practice a lot. They're very tight to each other. And he's good too. You know, I think that they just need to keep practicing. That's it. You know, just keep practicing and keep getting better. I hope that they keep doing bigger and better things, basically.
Yeah,
and I did tell them that hopefully maybe after, kind of like what you just said, after the Oxy show, maybe we'll have them on and talk about that whole experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth noting, this is a newer, younger band. They've only got a handful of songs out. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm really interested in, actually, while we're at it, let's do a quick plug. Their new song is called Sharp Pains. It just came out a few weeks ago, so check that out. They've only got a handful of songs to their name, and in listening through them, you'll catch some different sounds.
Yes.
It's like they're still in those early stages of trying different things out to see what really feels like them to stick with going forward.
Yeah.
So I will be very interested to see kind of like, you know, in the long run, like where their sound lands and what they kind of choose to be.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will say is that they have great harmony. Like the whole band, you know, they all kind of pitched in singing and they did have some really good harmonies.
That's such an excellent weapon to have when you have that in your arsenal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan of that.
So I just think the more they play around with it and find themselves as performers, I think they can do something.
Yeah.
We'll be following them.
Yeah.
Apparently seeing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so after they were off stage, you know, of course they were clearing the stage off, we were talking with Zach Bedsall, the guitarist of Saul, and Will, the other, I'm sorry, the bassist of Saul. They were manning the merch booth, and so we're just having a good old time talking like before their set.
Yeah, and we'd seen them not too long ago at Pops. So and we had Zach and Blake on the podcast. So as soon as we walked up to him, he's like, "Hey, nice to see you guys." And again, always blows my mind that we walk up to the merch booth and they're like, "Oh, hey, yeah, nice to see you again." You know.
Yeah, and so it was really funny because while we're standing there, I was just looking around at the merch, and I already had a Saul shirt. I had a Saul jacket. The Saul shirt is signed by all the members, and I'm looking at their merch, and they had like an EP. And so I asked Zach, I was like, "Wait, when did this come out?" And he's like, "Oh, that came out before Rise is Equals." And so, I was like, "Any new songs?" And so Will like starts selling. He's like, "Yeah, man, it comes with 5 songs. Like 3 of them." Are awesome. Yeah. And you know,
five songs, 3 of them are awesome.
Well, because two of them are already on
okay.
Rise is Equals.
Yeah, Rise is Equals.
I was gonna say, I love that honesty. We put out 5 songs, a couple of them were a little bit whack.
Yeah.
The rest are real good.
Yeah.
That's not quite what I meant. I'll go ahead and get the EP then. He's like, "Nah, you can have it."
it's on the house. I've been meaning to get rid of this shit, you know. Yeah. He's like, I'm tired of lugging these things around.
Please take our stuff.
And so like without even thinking, he like unwraps it and like starts to sign it. He's like, "Wait, did you want this sign?" I was like, "Sure, man, what the hell, sign it."
You should be like, "No," just to see what he did.
Yeah, he's like, I want another unopened one.
Give me another one. I'm selling this on eBay for $3 that a CD EP would go for. Anyway,
yeah, no, it was awesome chatting with them. Will had a hilarious T-shirt, by the way. It was
shirt alert.
It was like Scott Stapp Creed, like,
yes.
What was it, halftime show yes. Or something. Yeah, it was like
what,
it was a commemorative shirt from the halftime show that Creed played for. It wasn't like a Super Bowl show, it was like a playoff game or something like that.
Yeah,
2001. Like, yeah, it was
at 2001, 2001. No, November, yeah, 2001.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It was like a halftime show for Thanksgiving or something like that, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It was weird, but it was a hilarious shirt.
Yep, I like that.
Yeah, dude was rocking a Creed shirt.
A really niche Creed shirt, too.
Yeah, yeah. A very specific Creed shirt.
All right, so you guys got to tell me about Kingdom Collapse. I've been kind of curious about them for a while.
Yeah.
I got to see them with Fame on Fire, and, you know, they pretty much were, you know, just as good as they were last time. They continue to put out these singles that, like, are, you know, they catch on at Octane really quickly, and they do very well on Octane. They're very, you know, kind of mainstream type band.
Yeah. One thing that I'll say as far as like the themes that they go for is it's very mainstream, but it's also like in your face. There's a lot of like most of their songs are like, you know, put your middle finger in the air. Let's rebel against whatever, you know.
Yep. Yeah. He was getting flipped off for like half the concert.
Yeah. And
I wonder if fans like that know what they're rebelling against.
I don't know. In their
just
case,
rebel
I'm not
against
really
something.
Yeah. I mean, he had stories behind each song and like the reason why he wanted middle fingers in the air, but it was a lot of that. So,
yeah. And you know, he's got great stage presence and a great live voice as well.
Yes.
They actually just released a new single called Half Alive, and they played that, and yeah, so they hit up pretty much all their big singles, and I, you know, I really enjoyed their set list, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it was quick and to the point, and they did their thing and sounded great. But so Saul took the stage next, and it was funny because so Miles had like three separate like friend groups with the drummer of Saul. And so
okay.
So, like, before, as he's taking the stage, you'd hear, "Yay, Miles!
We love you, Miles!" Yeah, this was, like, a common thing throughout the concert, too. Like, in between songs, if there was any time or quietness, it was always, "We love you, Miles!"
Yeah. And sometimes he no-sold it, too. He'd just be like, "Yep, I'm just playing the drums up on
stage. I got stuff to do, y'all. We'll talk later."
I mean, I'm a huge fan of Miles because he sold me an awesome Saul jacket, or upsell me at the previous concert at Pops when I was freezing my ass off.
Yeah.
Inside the venue, he upsold me this jacket that I have like seriously worn every damn day, like to every concert. Like the thing is, I mean, I've washed it a couple times, but it's still pretty dank. Like it's
his dank upsell Saul jacket. All right.
That's right. And I told him too. I actually went up and was like, "Man, I can't thank you enough for selling me this." Like he's like, "Oh man, I really am thinking about getting this tour jacket as well." But yeah, so he said, because that was the thing that sold me. He's like, "Yeah," he's like, "I got," when they saw him at Pops, he's like, "Yeah, I got that jacket." And then all my crew members have it. And I was looking around like, yeah, they literally did all wear the jacket.
Yeah.
And it's comfortable. I love it.
And right as they're getting ready to start, they were setting up all of their stage lights and stuff. And Dan's like, "Oh man, I need my sunglasses, don't I?" And Miles turned is like, "Yeah, like it's pretty fucking bright."
Yeah. Yeah. And it was ridiculously bright.
It was ridiculously bright.
But and so I did realize that part of the light issues that I have are probably my own fault, because most of the time when I'm at concerts, I am, we'll just say my eyes dilate slower. Okay.
Okay.
So that's probably my own fault that I'm a little light sensitive at these concerts.
I'm just gonna get you those glasses that they give you at the eye doctor whenever you get eye drops, man.
Fuck yeah.
Let me get you them post LASIK procedure glasses. You can start rocking them at shows.
I would too, man. I would. these concert lights have gotten ridiculous. And I think, honestly, I do think part of that is because they think they're trying to like throw off like the video recording, you know, if because it's, you know, it's all bright and stuff, like it your camera constantly has to adjust and it can't keep up with like the actual like recording. So I personally think that that's why like most concerts nowadays have like these weird obnoxious crowd lights. But yeah, this was definitely Saul's setup, that they had like these backing lights behind the Zach and Will.
Yeah.
It was cool. It made for a cool effect, but it blinded me.
Well, one thing that I got to give Saul props on is they create like their own mic stands with their logo on it. They have their merch stand is a built-in box that they bring into the venue and set up. That's like all welded together with a TV screen and stuff. So yeah, they put in a lot of work when they go on tour, whether they're an opening band or a headlining act. They put in a lot of effort, and I don't know. I didn't go back and like go on Setlist FM and like compare the two sets that we saw, but it was pretty similar to the previous set. They played a lot of stuff off of the new album. And then of course the main singles off of, the previous one.
And you know, you're a good headlining artist when you leave your fans desiring more songs.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. I was like, I wanted to hear Reign of Fire.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It does happen, but they were great, and I can't wait to see them again.
Yeah. And they were awesome afterwards too. They hung out for a little bit. I got this, my CD signed by the rest of everybody.
Yes, of course.
And
can't, you know, just have one or two.
And Casey became everybody's photographer yet again, for the second concert in a row, actually, because he did that at the Caskets concert right before we took our picture with Benji and James. He took about seven pictures, probably literally seven pictures of different people. So then he also starts taking pictures for Saul. And that was funny in itself.
Yeah. And again, to circle back to what we were talking about at the beginning of this, the time when Saul was done, they finished up at 9:27.
Yes.
So it was not even 9:30 when their show was over and done with. So we had plenty of time to hang out, and we still would have beat the set it off time by like an hour and a half.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, as somebody who had to work the next day, like I truly appreciated that.
Yeah.
Matinee concerts. That's what's right. Yes.
Yeah. So the funniest part about taking pictures for Saul was these people would come up and they would want a picture, and they would like get start all posing, prepped and start posing, and then not hand me their phone. So it's like I need something to take. I could take a picture on my phone, but it's not you.
Like, yeah, it happened like three or four times.
People would just go up and
they'd start posing. Oh wow. Yeah, they'd start posing and they're looking like at Casey, like, why aren't you taking the picture? What's wrong, Casey? Like, he's like, do you have a phone?
Yeah. I'm like,
that's so weird.
Whose phone am I using to take this picture? And it didn't happen.
And then everybody walked away when we wanted our fucking picture, asshole.
Yeah.
Flag somebody down, like, hey, you, take this picture.
Like that person that holds the door and then gets stuck holding the door for 20 people, and then nobody holds the door for them.
That's right.
I've been saying for a long time that we need to get Casey a good camera and like send him to like a class or something, so he could be like a legit like concert photographer for us.
That's right.
And then also you can also start charging people. I'll take a photo of you and the band for $5.
I'll take a tip. I do work on tips. Like
he works on tips. High quality camera, right, for free. Let's do
this. Have your Venmo tag on your fucking like chest.
That's right. We'll put a Venmo QR code on the
QR code on the insert.
That's to pay KC for his photography services.
That's right.
Yeah.
Marketing.
But It's funny that you mentioned that, because also, I don't know why I was the photographer, because there was at least three other photographers that were taking shots of this entire concert.
Dude, like 10% of the people there were photographers. Like,
That's free lessons. You should have talked to one of them and be like, yo, let's give me some lessons.
Oh, man. It was funny, because there was like this, there was this big guy taking shots, and he kept moving around doing some crazy stuff. And then there was this really short girl that had her arms above her head the entire time. And it was wild.
See, I think you've even got a shtick. It's just like Casey, the giant photographer. Like, not many photographers are as big as you. And so there's something, except I think there's something Randy interesting Johnson. About that. If Randy Johnson can do it, then you can do it.
Anyway, no. Yeah, we chatted with Blake a little bit at the end, and he filled us in on a couple of things. They're getting ready to write some new music here soon. And there's a pretty prominent band that they'll be writing with.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So the rain picked up a little bit at that point, and people were carrying their guitars out in the rain. And I was kind of surprised at the lack of like,
tarps
protection. Yeah. Tarps and protection that they had. They just
started... You mean carrying guitars without even like cases or anything?
Yeah.
No. Well, it was like the one band in particular had like three or four guitars in this little stand, but it was uncovered, and they just carried it out the door, like in the pouring rain.
They didn't even run. Just
walked. Yeah. And they didn't even run. They're just, you know, taking their time.
Nonchalant. Guitars must be waterproof.
Yeah. Well, after, you know, seeing Bad Flower, you know.
Hey, they're not. That one shorted it out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys got to get back into the swing of things a little bit. It felt like it had been a minute since we did a show.
It had, yeah.
And we got I think that the foreseeable future is looking fairly full of interviews. So we got to sneak in these live review shows while we can.
Yeah.
Well, I think the next one is going to be like a live review week, because we have like a week of shows that's just going to be insane with Calva Louise, Fury and Few, and then Point Fest.
The itch might not survive the middle of May.
Yes.
It's a lot happening that week.
And that's if we get any interviews during that week, we're screwed.
But nope. I'm going to block that week off. We are out. So stay tuned for that.
Thank you very much for listening to The Itch. I hope you enjoyed our concert reviews and all the bands that we talked about. I will definitely advise, if you get a chance to see any of them, make your way out to see them live. Caskets, Saul, Hang Your Hate, Kingdom Collapse, they were all great.
There we go.
Thank you very much for listening to The Itch Podcast. Oh, shit. My name is Dan. I'm sorry, do that again. Sorry.
Do it one more time.
We might keep that one. That's
again, it's 11 o'clock.
Oh, shit. So thank you very much for listening to The Itch Podcast.
Just say your name.
Until next time.
Nope.
Oh, fuck.
No.
It's the thing you say at the end of every single 208 episodes. It's your own name.
I can't even fucking say it now because I'm laughing too hard.
All right.
You're good. Oh, man.
My name is Dan.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Aaron.
And I'm ready to go to bed.
If you enjoyed what you heard in this episode, please subscribe and tell a friend about The Itch.
Check out the show notes for links about the episode, as well as our new music playlist and where you can hear us every Sunday night.
And you can interact with us at itchrocks.com or on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Gmail, all at itchrocks, ITCHROCKS.